Tonight, our sermon is based on the gospel reading that I have just read, Transfiguration and Beyond. I'll just wait for the musos and we will pray. Lord Jesus, I pray that we would listen to you. You have come to set us free from the power of evil. Please open our hearts and our ears to hear your words for us through your Holy Spirit. And please help me to speak to your people the words that you want them to hear. In your name, I pray. Amen. Tonight I've titled my sermon, Life and Death in the Valley, Transfiguration and Beyond. The Transfiguration was a mountaintop experience for about four people, for Peter, James, John, and Jesus, and maybe six people if you include Moses and Elijah. But for most of us, and most of the time, we live down in the valley. Most of the time, sometimes in fact, life sucks. Sometimes it feels as if what is happening to us way down from the mountain is crushing the life out of us. And in fact, this very week, there have been a number of times where it really seems like life sucks. I've been in contact with a number of people who have spoken to me about either themselves or others struggling with depression, battling with the darkness that comes with that. I have a good friend who's currently in hospital, struggling with infection and operation after operation. I have another friend whose uncle died of a brain aneurysm suddenly, without any warning. And when things like that happen, it's like evil has its hand around your throat. And it's squeezing the joy and the hope out of life. This is certainly the experience of the man that Jesus meets when Jesus and his disciples come down from the mountain of Transfiguration. Luke 9, verse 37 onwards, 38. A man in the crowd who meets Jesus calls out, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for he is my only child." A spirit seizes him, and he suddenly screams. It throws him into convulsions so that he foams at the mouth. It scarcely ever leaves him and is destroying him. "I begged your disciples to drive it out, but they could not." For this man and his only son, it seems as if evil is squeezing all of the joy out of his relationship with his son, taking all of the hope and sucking it out of the situation. In fact, it's not life itself that sucks. It's the truth that we live in a broken world. We live in a world that is under the wrath of God because people turn away from him in sin. We live in a world where nature itself and our own lives are cursed because of human rebellion, even if that's not our own fault. And for this man, it was not his own fault that his son was suffering in this horrible way. It's not life that sucks. It's the fact of death. The fact that evil exists and has sway in this world, and we know that it shouldn't, that this is not the way that the world should be. Jesus actually gets annoyed with his disciples at this point. Not with the man, he gets annoyed with his disciples. "Oh, unbelieving and perverse generation," he says. What a great bunch of heroes they are. Why does he get annoyed with them? Because right in this chapter of Luke, at the beginning of chapter 9, Jesus has already called the 12 and given them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. They're not living up to what he has given them to be. They're not taking up the authority that Jesus has given to them. But Jesus steps in. Jesus doesn't stay on the glorious mountain of transfiguration, communing with his Father. He comes down into the valley where evil holds sway and has its grip and where death is at work. And he comes to bring life and to bring freedom from the slavery of evil and death. So what happened on the mountain? And how does this help to deal with that man and his son and with us and the ways that our lives are broken and hurting and painful? Well, back there on the mountain, Peter, James, and John had a glimpse of Jesus' heavenly glory. This is just the faintest glimpse of what it must be like for Jesus to exist in heaven in relationship with the Father and the Spirit. They see that Jesus' face is shining. God speaks from the cloud. God the Father says, "This is my Son, the one I have chosen. Listen to him." And in fact, Jesus is actually speaking with two of the great heroes of the Old Testament, with Moses, who led God's people out of physical slavery in Egypt into the Promised Land, who gave them the words of the Ten Commandments from God himself, as TJ read to us in the Exodus passage. And with Elijah, the man who single-handedly took on the corruption and evil of the kings of Israel and led the people out of their idolatry. But it's not about Moses or Elijah that God says, "This is the one I have chosen." It's about Jesus himself. And what are they talking about, Moses, Elijah, and Jesus? In the NIV, the translation in verse 31 says, "They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem." But the actual word is Exodus. Moses and Elijah were speaking with Jesus about his Exodus. And Exodus is the great saving event of the Old Testament where God sets his people free from slavery and from the evil power of Pharaoh and brings them into his own promised land. It's not Moses who gives the law who can set people free from evil. It's not even Elijah who stands up against the corrupt kings and the idolatry of the time. It's Jesus who really is the one who saves his people, who brings them out from under the power of evil, who sets them free, and who gives them joy. Jesus is the chosen one. He could have stayed on the mountain. Peter wanted him to. "Lord, let's build 3 tents. It'll be great. We can hang out here. We'll have one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And we can just stay here and bask in the glory. Wouldn't that be awesome?" But Jesus comes down into the valley. He comes down to the place where evil has its throat around life and joy and hope and goodness. He comes down to the place where it seems as if life sucks and people have been abandoned by God. Back down in the valley, Jesus confronts the power of evil and defeats it. Luke 9, verse 42 to 43. "Even while the boy was coming, the demon threw him to the ground in a convulsion. But Jesus rebuked the evil spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father." Jesus did, in fact, what he had given his disciples the authority to do, and they had not taken up that authority. He brought healing, he brought freedom, he brought release for the boy. And huge relief and life for his father. Philippians talks not about the mountain of transfiguration, but about Jesus' descent from his heavenly glory to our earth and our planet. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 to 8 says, Jesus was in very nature God, but he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. You see, when Jesus comes back down into the valley, he doesn't just heal the man's son of evil. He knows that he is going eventually to climb another mountain, a mountain called Calvary or Golgotha, just outside Jerusalem, with a cross on his back. Jesus, as he goes on his way to his death, allows the power of evil to crush him so that we might not be crushed by it. He goes to bear the silence of God on another mountain, calling out, my God, why have you abandoned me? In order that we might never have to be abandoned. He takes both the guilt of those who hurt others, the guilt of the perpetrator, and the pain of those who are hurt by others onto himself in his death on the cross. He allows himself to be crushed so that we might be made whole. He allows the power of evil to suck the life out of him so that we might have life. In Isaiah chapter 53, the prophet speaks of what Jesus does for us. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. And so Jesus knows that it's not the Mount of Transfiguration that he is going to, and that's not the place he's going to stay. He comes back down to the valley to be with us, to set us free from the power of evil, to set us free from the power of sin and death that is at work in our world, and to climb up another mountain. Jesus says to his disciples, back to Luke chapter 9, Jesus says, listen carefully to what I am about to tell you. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. But they did not understand what this meant. It was hidden from them, so that they did not grasp it, and they were afraid to ask him about it. Jesus goes to the mountain of Calvary in order to be crushed by evil, in order to take on himself the abandonment of God, in order to bring us healing and to make us whole. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, which TJ also read just before, it says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Jesus doesn't just go to death, but he conquers death. He doesn't just take on the power of evil, but he conquers the power of evil. And in his resurrection, he gives life in order that we may be transformed, in order that we reflect the glory of God, in order that we become more and more like Him in His life-giving, perfect nature. Jesus has given up His heavenly glory in order that we might partake of it. He gives up His rights as the Son of God so that we can become sons and daughters of God. This is remarkable, amazing stuff. Life and death in the valley. It's true. It is true. Sometimes down in the valley, it seems as if life sucks. But Jesus does not stay on the mountain in heavenly glory, basking in the relationship with His Father. He comes down into the valley, into the places where we are, to take on evil, on Himself, to be crushed by it, to be conquered by it, so that we can be free, so that we also might experience life with God in that mountaintop experience that has no end when we meet Him face to face in heaven. Thanks be to God for His grace in allowing His Son to come down the mountain to meet us, to take on the power of evil, and to overcome it for our sake. Amen.